Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by WordPress.com. WordPress.com wants to salute all the small business owners out there making a big difference. The tool belt toting plumbers, the canine sweater stitchers, the horned rim glasses wearing flat screen TV installers, the corner deli footlong deliverers, and the mom and pop lawyers who look out for our best interests. While all those small businesses out there are doing their thing, WordPress is quietly powering their sites and the websites for thousands of small businesses like them. In fact, more websites run on WordPress than any other platform. Are you a small business owner who wants to make a big difference? Or maybe you want to start a blog? Consider building your site on WordPress.com. Now it's easy to get started with a 15% off any new plan purchase. So visit WordPress.com/PMT to create your small business website today. That's WordPress.com/PMT to get 15% off your new website, WordPress.com/PMT. Today's episode is also brought to you by Lisa. Lisa is the innovative and disruptive new online mattress company like the Tom Shoes or Warby Parker of the mattress industry. Available exclusively online, Lisa mattresses start at just $525. Mattresses ship compressed in a box directly to your door, and they come with a 100-night risk-free trial, free shipping anywhere in the U.S. and Canada, and it's 100% American-made. Lisa is an exciting, fast-growing, direct-to-consumer e-commerce mattress company. The Lisa mattress is frequently cited as the highest-rated mattress of the new breed of mattresses delivered in boxes. Here's what we got the deal for you right now. Go to lisa.com/barstool. That's lisa.com/barstool for $75 off your new mattress, and you're doing good. With Lisa 110 program, we donate one mattress to a shelter for every 10 they sell. They also plant one tree for every mattress sold, pledging to plant 1 million trees by 2025. Lisa.com/barstool. Do it now. Let's go. Hey! Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Monday, March 13th, and we have been in Las Vegas for far longer than any human being ever should be in this goddamn city.
You age here in dog years.
We are still in Las Vegas. We have a great show for you. We have Brent Musburger on the show. We actually visited with him on Friday. We interviewed him at his new studio. It was unbelievable. I could listen to his voice forever.
Told some great stories. You could hear him read the phone book. It would be great.
Yes. So that's coming up. But before we get to that, let's tell everyone what we've been doing in Vegas for the last, what feels like 7 months.
Right. Well, we were at NASCAR today.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our first real NASCAR experience.
We're NASCAR guys.
NASCAR guys officially. Met Carrot Top there.
Yes.
I'll just say it. We're underneath the podcasting fort. We're in the trust tree right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's even funnier in person.
Yes.
He is just just a great guy.
Did you see also, we were at the race. We got to see the pit crew. We got to see everything. We were on some RVs drinking beers. Having a great time. Shout out Natty Light. That was a great time. But there was also a fight, which always gets you going with
huge
NASCAR.
Fight. Yeah. Logano.
I love how NASCAR, they just, you know what? If you do something illegal out there, you bump, you grind, rubbin's racing.
You settle like a man.
Settle with your fists.
That's right. Logano and, was it Bush?
Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Logano and Bush came to blows in pit road. I guess Logano dropped in. Is it like in surfing?
He
caught another man's wave.
Yes.
And then he caught another man's fist.
Yes, exactly. So that was great. I had a great time at NASCAR. It's basically you just show up, get to watch some cars go really fast, drink some beers,
mm-hmm.
and say, woo!
Yeah, woo!
All the time, yeah.
It's very loud.
And then the other things we've been up to in Vegas, we broke Vegas. We, as a team, pardon my take, what if I told you, a little 30 for 30, three guys with a bankroll of $4,000 only lost $300.
That is probably the most impressive thing that I've ever heard. So what we're going to do is We'll get to this later, but we're going to go down to the roulette table and put a shitload of it on a certain color. You'll have to listen to find out what
that is.
And
we're going to have a friend of ours decide that color.
Investment strategy, yes.
So, we've been gambling basically nonstop. We've been living the Vegas life, been eating too much. We went to the Pac-12 championship game, which was fantastic.
Saw our friend Bill there.
Yep.
Bill with two L's and three chairs. He was sitting on three chairs.
Yep.
He stacks them on top of each other because he's not tall enough. And got to hand him a part of my take shirt at halftime.
And he loved it.
He remembered us, which I was actually really surprised by that, knowing how Bill likes to drift from one conversation to the other. Don't know if he has object permanence. Mm-hmm. He's like a dog. If you hide a bone behind your back, the dog thinks the bone's gone.
Right.
But, yeah, he recognizes. He remembered our names.
So
that's cool.
Yeah, he's like, wow, PFT and Big Cat.
Pure, fine, talented.
I also had a rock bottom moment at the game. So, Hank, do you want to tell the story?
Yeah, so we're just sitting there. We did the dabs on TV, like we were in the behind Bill Walton's shot, so we were dabbing on TV.
Yep. Dabbed on America's face.
Some stoolies,
as I want to do.
Some stoolies, normal guys coming up, taking pictures. Then some stoolie from like 40 feet away screamed at Big Cat and was like, "Hey, Big Cat, if I give you a cookie, will you dab for me?" And just threw a cookie at Big Cat before he could even answer the question, and Big Cat just took it. Took a bite and started dabbing.
Like a circus animal.
Yeah, so it happened, and I didn't even flinch. I didn't even think twice about it. The guy offered me a free cookie, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to take this free cookie. I took the bite, I dabbed, and then I turned around, and Hank was just laughing, like tears in his eyes laughing. And it dawned on me that I am truly a circus animal. I am a dog that will do tricks for treats, and now that is out in the public, my life is over. It's downhill from
here.
People are just
going
to bribe me with little, you know, biscuits and whatnot.
Right. Crackers, small snacks, anything that can fit in your hand.
It's so bad that I didn't even think twice. I wasn't like, that's insulting, man. I was just like, yeah, throw me the cookie.
It's a little degrading. Well, you know what? This is like, you know, you're pretty much a sex worker now.
Yeah.
You're just whoring yourself out for treats.
Mm-hmm. So that's, I don't know where that treats. That lands me, but.
It's not going to end well.
That's where we're at. Okay. Let's talk about the bracket. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to have our friend Mark Titus on the show on Wednesday to break down the bracket for real. But before we do that, we have to do our favorite thing. That this is our second time doing it, because this is the second time. We're now past a year of the podcast, so we're getting the redundancy
quarter factor. Of a year.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, quarter of the year. So we're going to talk about the storylines, March Madness storylines, what everyone wants to hear. You want to start?
Yeah, I'll get it started. Actually, with a recall from last year, make some noise.
Ugh.
So, hey, there are a couple 10 seeds out there that could make some noise.
Yeah.
You better watch out.
Oh.
We don't know what noise means, but like, it depends. It's like on a sliding scale. If a 15 seed comes within 10 points of beating a 2 seed, they made some noise.
Yeah.
But if a 10 seed, they have to win at least one game to make some
noise. Right. The 16 seed, if the 16 seed is up 6-4. In like 3 minutes into the game, that's noise. That's sure. officially yep. noise, because people will start saying on Twitter, "Oh my God,
it's never happened."
Yeah, Kansas is down 2.
Yep.
with 37 minutes left to play. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? You also have we have a lot of people, you know, obviously filling out brackets. Shout out Darren Revelle does not fill out a bracket, so that is a March Madness tradition for him telling the world that he doesn't fill out a bracket and he's un-American and basically a terrorist.
And then Mike Greenberg only fills out one bracket and one bracket only.
Yeah.
They expect to get 4 days of coverage out of that.
Yes.
Out of why Mike Greenberg only does one bracket.
Well, I'll say this. Mike Greenberg, one bracket, I can appreciate that, because you know when it's March, I had that in my other bracket guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's always out there. So I had that upset. Oh, wow. That 14 upset. Yep. I didn't have it in this bracket that you're looking at right now, but my other bracket that I just filled out with a bunch of strangers on Yahoo, I have it on that.
I've got 9 brackets, so mathematically I have every single combination of first-round games. One of my favorite guys is the guy that says, "Can you believe a woman won my office pool?"
Mm-hmm.
And she picked using the colors instead of doing it like a normal person.
Yes.
And just picking your teams based on the starter jacket that you had when you were a kid.
The mascots.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that Duke Blue Devil, really cute.
Geez, a woman won my bracket. Can you believe it?
We have the guy who obviously says that his bracket is busted after the first game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always a fun one. My bracket's busted when the 10 seed wins at, you know, the 12 o'clock game.
Maybe my favorite phrase is mid-majors.
Mm.
In life, we're all pretty much mid-majors. But in this tournament, when they say mid-major, they act all surprised that the mid-major made some noise. But in reality, it's like, okay, these are who could believe these Division I athletes on scholarship are good at basketball?
Right. Beat this other team of scholarship athletes in one single game.
Right.
That actually brings up my next favorite one is the upsets that aren't really upsets. So Gonzaga still, obviously, they're the darling. Mm-hmm. Even though they're a one seed, if they make the Final Four, there'll be a lot of talk about, wow, can you believe Gonzaga? They're busting in with the big boys. Wichita State, even though they've been in the tournament mm-hmm. for about 75 years in a row, that will be a nice one. And then, like, Middle Tennessee is a 12 seed.
Mm-hmm.
They're a one-point underdog against Minnesota. So when they win, everyone's going to be like, wow, crazy day. Look at all these upsets.
On that same note, Gonzaga, a white player on Gonzaga crying at
Ooh,
some point.
Yeah, got to have that. Got to have that. Brackets for everything. That's my favorite thing for March. Everyone yep. decides that, hey, look, they do this tournament that everyone loves. Let me now do a bracket for favorite fast foods.
Or, porn stars.
Yeah, sitcoms. And then
horror movies.
You guys like brackets, right? Mm-hmm. Let me show you this bracket that I made. You should fill it out now.
Yeah, if you put anything into bracket form, I will click on it.
By the way,
we're gonna
probably make a Pardon My Take bracket. So we're making fun of ourselves here. That's okay.
Yes. Roy Williams breaking out the nice plaid jacket.
Mm.
He waits till March to bring out the one that's got the real bright blue on it.
Yeah, the one that if you don't have the latest HD television.
Oh, it scrambles
it's probably going to fuck your world up.
It gives Japanese kids seizures trying to watch Roy yes. Williams on TV.
Well, they're used to it. Pixelated
the Pokemon,
porn.
The Pokemon. Yeah.
The Pokemon. We have
the first Masters commercial.
Yes,
you're going to hear that Masters song.
Beautiful,
and it's going to put you to sleep mm-hmm. out of instinct on the couch. White males love the Masters theme
yes.
song. Speaking as a white guy,
yes.
If you're in a customer service environment and you deal with a lot of white male phone callers that are angry with your company,
mm-hmm.
how about you just put the hold music as the Masters theme
yes.
song?
That's a good
and then
point.
People are just super polite to you.
Or the Brazzers music.
Hello, friends.
Yeah, it's Jim Nance's month. This is Jim Nance's month. We
yep.
get overdose of Jim Nance, which I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm.
I like having Jim Nance around. He's good to listen to. He's good to take naps around. He's a, you know, he's a guy that you want to throw on that game on Saturday afternoon,
mm-hmm.
take that hungover nap. We also have websites. What time the games start?
Oh, yes.
This is a big...
It's a big SEO
yes,
week right
big
now.
Big SEO week. What time... Because everyone's wondering, hey, what time is my team play? Or
what channel
time,
is yeah, True TV?
What channel is True TV? Here, how to find True TV. I'm sure the boys at SB Nation probably have that one at the number one Google search.
Yeah, so we've also got Jim Boeheim being rolled around everywhere like he's not just an asshole that decided to run his own and found 20 years of success that way. But
yep.
they're going to bring him on every show, and they're going to say, Jim, who do you like? And he's going to be grumpy. He's going to be an asshole.
Yes.
And he's probably going to say Kansas.
Yes, yes. We have, obviously, the Northwestern storyline. That's going to be great until they lose. By the way, shout out to the selection committee for putting Northwestern in Salt Lake City so that they can feel at home with a bunch of people that don't drink and
yeah,
party.
A bunch of nerds.
Yeah, right. It's like
the Mormons are the biggest nerds of yeah. all the religions. No offense, you're very successful people.
Did you see this is truly a battle of good versus evil mm-hmm. where Skip Bayless is the good. Skip
That's
Bayless
true.
Is a
yeah.
Vanderbilt grad. He yep. already went at him on Twitter. You have Skip Bayless versus Darren Revelle, Mike Wilbon, Rachel Nichols, Greenberg, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rooting for Skip Bayless.
It's interesting because Utah is a state that has multiple wives, and Northwestern is a college where you never get laid.
Mm.
So a little juxtaposition of cultures out
yeah,
there.
More, they can share them.
Yeah.
Maybe Revelle will get laid.
Little, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, no, probably not.
He's not going to get laid.
What else we have?
Let's see. We've got, there's going to be some sick son of a bitch student athlete that fills out a bracket this year.
Yes.
And they're going to suspend his ass rightfully.
Yep.
Maybe just yank his scholarship.
Yep. Oh, can't we're going to get reminded by the NCAA that even though this tournament makes them millions and millions and probably billions of dollars, they're giving these student athletes a good education,
mm-hmm.
and most of them don't even go pro, so don't worry about it. They're going to use these life lessons for their career going forward.
In dribbling.
Yes, even though everyone in the stadium is wearing their jerseys and they get no dimes for it. And Jay Billis is going to tell you that. He's going to always just be angry. He's angry all of March.
Yes, yes. Also, we're going to have – okay, here's one of my favorite phrases. Live by the jump shot, die by the jump shot.
Ooh.
We're going to say that over and over again.
Okay, I like that. The Charles Barkley and the NBA crew trying to bullshit their way through a month of college basketball. Yep. coverage is always my favorite. Yep.
Charles Barkley's going to say something ridiculous, and people are just going to laugh because he says it in that cute little accent.
Right. And Charles Barkley now.
I was just going to get a blowjob.
Right, and now that he's, I think he ends up on CBS all month, so all of America gets to watch, and he's probably going to say something racially charged that will start a whole to-do.
That blowjob was terrible.
Yeah, stick to sports, Charles. Or stick. You don't even stick to sport. You
just stick to Charles. Talk about
make fun of Shaq. Yeah. Shaq's not going to be there, but just make fun of him.
I think we can all agree that's when Charles is at his best.
All right, I think that's it. I think we covered it all.
A 12-5. There's going to be 12-5.
There's going to be a couple 12-5s. Yeah, beware the guy who people you know, in shocked. Your bracket who picks all the favorites and you point it out. You're like, hey man, you picked a lot of chalk. I'm like, no, I have one 12-5 and a 10-7. I'm going to get that upset.
A lot of reminders that a 16 team has never beat a 1 either.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. People forget that.
As for the actual bracket, there obviously are people who are upset because some teams got left out, Syracuse, Cal, Iowa, and then also the seeding. I just want to say I am biased, but Wisconsin got fucked.
How?
They're an 8 seed, which I'm fine with because they haven't played well, but Minnesota's a 5 seed and Wisconsin beat Minnesota 2 times this year.
Oh, so this is okay, this is you getting into your semi-annual dick measuring contest between Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Nope.
So here's something interesting.
No, everyone
that people
knows
forget.
You've said this before.
People forget that Wisconsin and Minnesota have this cool thing called reciprocal tuition.
It's called reciprocity.
Yeah, right? Where if you grow up in Wisconsin, you get in-state tuition to Minnesota and vice versa. Isn't that cute?
I still don't understand why you
hate
bash this.
And
this
you still
like
hate
the
each other
thing to bash.
Because it's the most passive aggressive Midwestern thing of all time.
Okay. They got screwed though. That's fine. I'm not going to.
You shouldn't
mad.
Receive an education outside your own state. That's
I'm
all
not
I'm saying.
I'm not going to be mad. All right, let's do who's back of the week. By the way, that is one of the weirdest things that you get upset about because I think you've said that. Maybe that's the third time you brought that up on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Something that very bothers you a lot.
It does. It
bothers
it
you.
Really,
you mad.
Like
you
I'm sweating right now.
You mad.
I'm
triggered.
So mad.
You're a triggered snowflake when
I think
it comes to
you're the
tuition.
One who's triggered. You're triggered right. That I'm triggered about.
Ooh. Let's do who's back. What do you got, Hank?
My who's back of the week is Johnny Football.
Oh.
That's right. Comeback season.
He just got engaged to show that he's committed and he's making his comeback. So it seems like he's got everything going for him heading forward.
Okay, that's how you do it. Put a ring on it. Make an honest woman out of it. So who is this girl that he's engaged to?
Some Instagram model.
Nice.
See, this is where I get confused again, is what's the difference between just a girl who has an Instagram profile and an Instagram girl?
With 10,000 followers.
Then she's an IG
Instagram
girl.
Model.
Well, she's a model, but she doesn't not sign with an agency. So
she doesn't get paid.
If you're over 10,000 followers, you are now an Instagram model.
She's good looking and she stands places.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
Takes a bunch of selfies. Shout out to Adam Schefter, by the way. He wasn't mad at all that he missed out on the Brandon Cooks trade.
That was the funniest thing of all time. Like 3 hours after that Brandon Cooks trade got broke, he was sweating it out, and so he's like, I got to break something. Here's a really inconsequential thing. And then he put it out like it was huge news.
He also did the classic Schefter where
he's a little P-boy, isn't he?
He gets so upset, and it's so clear how upset he is when he doesn't get to break the news. So he came over the top. The news broke, and he came over the top and said, my sources are telling me that the Saints might still try to trade for Malcolm Butler. He does the old, listen, the story was broke by someone else, but I have the full story.
Yeah, and he's also big on doing the quote tweet and saying, my sources confirmed this.
Yeah. Hey,
thanks, Diana. Hey, I got it, too.
Speaking of
I would have had it, too, if you didn't say it first.
Speaking of triggered guys, Schefter, we know that you're triggered every time you don't break the news.
That's right.
We see it.
A little snowflake.
Yeah. All right. Who do you have for who's back?
My who's back of the week is vasectomies.
Yes.
This is my favorite commercial of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Every year it happens. And there will be a couple vasectomy clinics that put out a press release saying, hey, we're offering half off the snip on the first day
of the
NCAA tournament. So that way you can get away from the wife for a little bit and sit down and watch basketball all day. And for the low, low price of just getting one of your nuts cut off.
It's
my favorite day. And one thing that I love about it is that they're acting like this would be the weekend that a guy would get a girl pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I would predict that there are like no babies born 9 months after the start of March Madness, because no guy out there is fucking.
No, this is the weekend that a guy
gets his girlfriend mad at him.
Drinks too many beers, eats nachos, and then farts a lot and falls asleep on the couch.
It's breakup season is what it is. It's after spring break. You probably did something that you regret, and now you just want to watch basketball for a weekend, not being a very supportive partner. So it's breakup season. That's why schools have the cutoff date between grades for like late September because there are no kids born then.
Yeah.
Connect the dots.
I don't think that that's the correct math.
No.
Not even close.
Christmas.
There you go.
No babies are born at Christmas except for Jesus.
My Who's Back, Dickie V's home office. So Dickie V obviously gets left out of March Madness because it's a CBS True TV situation. So they always just bring in Dickie V. They get him in his home office in Tampa. He's got his Dickie V memorabilia behind him. He's screaming and yelling. Usually makes a joke. Dickie V always is good for this whenever there's a snub in the bracket. He says, you know, my eyes, I got one bad eye. I got one good eye, and I can still see how bad this was. He likes to make that
a little
joke.
Self-deprecating.
Yeah, you're right.
Dickie V strikes me as the kind of guy that has books written by himself on the bookshelf behind
yes.
him.
Yes, and I also just would guess that Dickie V's not wearing pants anytime he's on TV.
You kidding me?
Yeah.
Dickie V, formal wear for Dickie V is Bermuda shorts.
Yes.
He's exactly. Living the dream.
All right, let's do the Brent Musburger interview. We touched everything. Talking about
we touched everything.
We touched it all. Talking about how he stole cars when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Little gambling talk.
Catherine Webb.
Favorite call. All of it. Taught him a new word.
We did. Yeah. Also talked about pissing in the press box.
Yes. So here is Brent Musburger, the legend, and our talk with him.
Gentlemen, if you're wondering whether your shirt is too long to wear untucked, it probably is. Finding a shirt that looks good untucked has been one of the biggest problems in men's fashion for years. Most are too long and too sloppy. It's a deceptively difficult look to get just right. But Untuckit.com has solved this problem by making shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. Research shows a clear preference for an untucked shirt to be long enough to comfortably cover the belt buckle, but short enough to keep a portion of the pant pocket exposed. With a few innovative design changes, Untuckit shirts fall at the perfect length. Impeccable craftsmanship and attention to detail make Untuckit shirts the only choice for the untucked man and the perfect gift. So visit Untuckit.com and use the promo code STOOLIES to receive 20% off all your purchases. That's promo code STOOLIES. You can also visit their new stores in New York, Austin, L.A., San Francisco, or Chicago. Untuckit.com, because the right shirt will make all the difference.
We now welcome on a legend, Hall of Famer. Do they have a Hall? They have a Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
You're in the Hall of Fame. You can probably recognize that voice. It's Brent Musburger. Thank you for joining us on Pardon My Take. We are sitting in your beautiful studio live from the South Point Casino. This thing is fabulous, by the way.
It is a great studio.
Did you build this all yourself?
Yeah, Mr. Gunn helped me out a little bit.
Okay.
Somebody had to have the checkbook.
So before we get going with everything, we want to talk about, you know, your career, betting, March Madness. But before we do that, let's talk about what you're doing now and this great show that I actually was just on. You're on Sirius. You're doing a gambling show. What took everyone so long to do this show?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
It's crazy.
Isn't it, to stay in the back alleys, guys, mm-hmm. as long as it did. And, you know, there's so much good information to disseminate about the matchups and the games and the spreads. And even if you don't bet, you're interested in the movement of money. You know, who does the public like in this particular game or that one? It's a fascinating subject, and it's somewhat endless because if there's any sport that people love to watch, you can usually bet on it in mm-hmm. Some form, whether it's out-and-out gambling on a game or fantasy or having pools with your buddies. And, of course, the biggest unregulated gambling venture in the United States would be the bracket that the NCAA mm-hmm. puts out every year. Everybody plays bracket.
As American as apple pie.
Absolutely.
The tournament bracket. What's your favorite sport to bet?
Whatever's next.
Okay, that's a man after my heart.
That's actually a very Bill Walton answer. He gave us a similar one the other day.
Yes.
You mentioned this earlier, but you kept this a pretty good secret. I don't think that anybody, you know, leaked the news until it was on your term. So how long ago did you realize that this was going to be the next step?
6 months, maybe.
That quick?
Something like that. Yeah. I have to tell you, is it okay if I call you PFT? Is that okay?
That's fine.
Love the sunglasses.
Thank you. My eyes are sensitive to light, like Tony Sperano.
Here, right?
Yeah,
it's good.
Football guy.
Good with them, you know, I wasn't sure that they could put it together, okay? And without Michael Gunn, who owns the South Point, we would not have been able to do it. He's one of the last of the great independent casino owners in Nevada. His father was the legendary Jackie Gunn, used to own a place called the Barbary Coast. So he thought, listening to his three bookmakers, that this might be a pretty good idea. And if the fellows know how to stream it, which he knew nothing about, like me, because, you know, we're the older generation. But then SiriusXM, which you fellows also are on, that radio network, when they came on board, that helped give us an outlet and go to build it. So one thing led to another, and suddenly there we were doing 3 hours prior to a Super Bowl, and now we've got 5 hours on VSIN, Vegas Stats and Information Network, which I thought, by the way, was a great name and a great logo, and I'm hopeful that they'll soon produce T-shirts. The girls here in the summertime need T-shirts.
Yes, absolutely.
Very good logo.
Yeah, so, and now you want to give us the honest answer that you just wanted to live in a casino next to a sports bar?
Hey, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, because, I mean, let's be honest.
And I have been doing that, living in the hotel for the last few weeks.
Right.
I get up in the morning, put on a pair of sweats and a T-shirt. I come down, I get a cup of coffee out here by the front door. I come in here, I grab the sheets with the numbers. I sit over there, some of the characters in the front. But unfortunately, Danny, my wife is going to arrive next week. So, you know, party's over.
I'm going to get some milk. I'm going to get some milk. And then you're back.
Got to take the dogs out. Right, you know, you know how that goes.
Right.
Oh, no, I won't be paying attention to the spreads or anything.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, it's clearly living the dream here, working next to a sports book.
Absolutely.
We are guys who like to have a little action on the game and watch sports. So that's fantastic. Now, because you obviously have retired from calling games, have you had that moment yet where you've missed it? When you know, maybe in the middle of February and you'd want to be in Ames, Iowa? Maybe not Ames, Iowa.
Maybe not. let's try a different one.
Right,
middle of February doing Miami.
Okay.
Or maybe doing San Diego.
Yes.
In the middle of maybe. Or going over to the University of Hawaii.
Yes.
I've missed all three of those.
Okay.
To tell you the truth, I get enormous satisfaction out of watching a lot of games, because that's really how I started in the business, was with the NFL Today and watching all the NFL games on a Sunday afternoon. Maybe if you ask me the same question next October, when I'm not in Tuscaloosa or one of those other great cities for college football, might be a little bit different. But no, I really have not missed it.
So that's interesting that you said that your career obviously started just watching a bunch of games. So it sounds like you were a blogger before bloggers were bloggers.
Yeah, I didn't know how to spell it, didn't know what it meant or
but
anything.
That's,
like
I mean,
that.
basically
that's what you do.
The premise of our job was, how can we get paid to sit around and watch sports
games
all the
on
time?
TV.
Yeah.
Were you living in your mom's basement at the time?
No, I was not. I'm not like you guys today.
Okay.
I got kicked out of the house and told to go to work. Okay.
Not like
I was on the road and I umpired baseball for a year. Got kicked out of Northwestern for you. Oh, no.
You're a bad boy.
Now I heard
you're
about that.
Boy.
So you've stolen a couple of cars in your day, haven't you?
Yeah, I did. It was unauthorized. I didn't steal it.
Unauthorized.
I don't want you to know. Hey, my father paid good hard cash for that car. I'm going to watch yourself over there, PFD.
So you did go to Northwestern. We've been talking. It's a theme on our show. We're bracing for the
But I used to love your school.
Yeah, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yes.
Because listen,
this was a nice deflection by you. I was
any
about to bash
excuse
you.
Yeah. In my illegal car.
Yes.
To drive to Madison.
Yeah.
Because in your student union.
Yep.
I, with my fake ID, could get a cold glass of beer.
One of the only
I was going to school in town that was dry.
Yes.
You could not even go to a grocery store in Evanston and buy a good cold beer.
Correct.
You know? So I thought you had the most civilized school that I'd ever
visited. Absolutely.
I think you should be allowed to steal a car if you're using it to get beer.
I didn't steal it. It was illegal.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? The cops might have thought it was stolen, but come on.
So
you're going to hurt my reputation.
So back to the question that you deflected so artfully there.
Yes.
Northwestern's going to be in the tournament.
First time?
We think. No, they're going to be in the tournament. They're going to be in the tournament. I just wanted to see if you paused there. So are you sick of yourself yet?
Not yet, but I will be soon.
Talking about Northwestern?
You know what I'm sick of? Cub fans.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know what I'm sick of? Cub fans.
Wow, so another deflection.
You know, it was great last year. I loved it. I bet the Cubs. I bet them to win the division. I waited for them to lose a World Series game. Then I bet them at a better price to win the World Series. I caught a 9-game winning streak during the season. Bet them every day to win.
Loved it.
Okay. Now stop.
Okay.
Stop with this dynasty talk.
Oh,
okay.
The dynasty is happening. The dynasty is on.
Red Sox fans became insufferable, and now it's the Cub fans.
Let's just see. If the dynasty is on, you can't say anything. But are you going to be talking about Northwestern endlessly, like Mike Greenberg, Mike Wilbon, Darren Revelle, who have already exhausted it before they've even gotten to the tournament?
Absolutely, positively not.
Okay. good man.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
I'm so tired of that. So
appreciate
just
that.
Get in the tournament,
yeah.
Win a game, and get back to me.
Okay.
Okay. You've never been in the tournament.
Do something.
Why
yeah.
should I sit here and rave about
it? I love
you?
It.
I've got North Carolina. I got Villa. The team I'm going to rave about is Gonzaga.
Mm.
I mean, it is time for the Zags to make the move and get to the Final Four. Okay. I mean, they've got one of the greatest coaches, Mark Few. Mark Few comes over to Montana in the summer. We have a place up in it. He loves to fish. He's a trout fisherman. He's a fly fisherman. Outstanding. Great companion. Wonderful guy. Does a terrific job up there. School gets no respect. Of course, they don't play anybody, but they still get no respect. And I want them in the Final Four. I'd rather have them in the Final Four than Northwestern.
I mean, they yeah. play St. Mary's twice a year with a roster full of Australians.
Yeah,
so
and
that's,
a gym.
Yeah.
A gym
those Aussies can play and they drink
yeah.
beer afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I've got a conspiracy theory that there's some hijinks going on for St. Mary's, that they've got a pipeline to Australia bringing people over for nefarious reasons.
Nefarious?
Yeah.
Like what, slam dunking and rebounding and shooting free throws?
Well, yeah,
and
those slam dunk. Kind of, exactly, yeah.
yeah. They're pretty good athletes down there. And on top of it, they're terrific folks.
So right. I actually, St. Mary's this year, I got in my own head. It's a term that you might not be familiar with. It's called being woke. It's woke. A millennial. Yeah, woke. It's like when
it's
you
a
get.
Millennial
yeah,
term?
It's kind of like
being
a,
woke.
It's when your
woke.
Eyes are open to something.
Yeah, it's
so.
When you try to, you know,
you
conspiracy theories. So yeah. I had it. I was convinced that St. Mary's was shaving points. Have you
Come
ever?
On.
Have you ever been like someone, a little birdie on your shoulder, been like, "Hey, Brent, I think these guys might be up to some funny business."
No, because I got my bookmakers, my guys in okay. the desert back here. I go back and they keep track of these things.
Right.
Okay. Well, my buddy Jimmy Vaccaro was in on the Arizona State caper
right.
a few years ago.
Right.
Okay? The funny money was showing.
Yeah.
I mean, on a game that might attract $250 total, guys were coming in betting $5,000-$6,000, but you know, something funny's going on with
right.
the team down there, and it was showing up all around town. So these are the guys. The one thing about the integrity, which is true, we should all hope for that. Any kind of game that you watch and bet on, and that these guys watch the integrity more than anybody because it's a business to them,
right?
You know, it's money, it's dollars and cents,
right? Because if you start distrusting it and
there
distrusting
was, what
the
was
games,
a referee, the referee in the
is
NBA,
Tim Donaghy, yeah,
okay, yeah. Now he was the last bad citizen that I remember, and it was kind of funny because I did games when he was a referee. And, you know, had I known that he was showing up, I could have bet the over. But
exactly.
So let's be honest here. You say that you have never bet a game that you've called. That's not true, right? You've definitely bet games that you've called.
Oh, no. The last time.
Off the record.
No. The last time. Let me tell you about the last time because it's kind of interesting. It was an NBA 11:30 at night game. A mediocre Los Angeles Laker team was up in Portland, okay? And I bet dinner for the production team with the director, a legendary director by the name of Tony Verna, okay? And I had the Lakers and 3 points, okay? Coming to the last possession, they were down 4 points to a decent Blazer team, okay? I'll never forget this. And they throw the ball to Johnny Newman, youngster had been a good player at Ole Miss, and he was in a Laker uniform that night. He takes about 3 dribbles, and he jacks it, and it fires up this long shot, okay? He had no chance of going in, bounced away. Portland got the rebound, ran out the clock. Bada bing, I lose a bet. I spent about 15, 20 seconds jumping on Johnny Newman. What a terrible shot. Why would he take a shot like that?
Of course.
I'm telling you, folks, I am. And when I walked away and I was having my first cold beer, I said, "Bob, Brent, you don't want to do that." So I really gave up betting on games that I'm announcing. Now, every other game, fair right. game, okay,
right.
if I'm not, because it influences, I would not recommend that any analyst or play-by-play guy do a game simply because it influences how you view the game and the athletes
mm-hmm.
that are involved.
Without a doubt.
Now, everybody always thought that I did. Now, the difference was I always knew what the spread was. I knew
sure.
what other people were betting, and I knew what the over-under number was on all the games that I bet. So I knew when there was a crazy cover or a backdoor cover, something like that going on. But no, I stayed away with it from it after that night.
People yeah. always noted when you would note it on air, and it was like, oh my God, he's talking about gambling. that always seemed like the most genuine thing. Like, the people are watching this game. You're watching a blowout because you're seeing if a team's going to backdoor cover. You know, this is why a good deal of the audience is watching. So I appreciated you giving that little hat tip to the guys who kept on losing bets like me.
Exactly.
Yeah. You really ram it in there. Like, yeah. And there is the over.
I jump on the guy.
Yeah, right.
Bada bang.
Yeah, right.
The end. But you like the over.
I do like the over. I do always
bet the over. So I know you're not going
to. I'm a sucker right now.
Actually, talking about over-unders, I tell people who are not really familiar with sports betting, I said, if you want to have a good time, I said, just enjoy the game. Bet the over.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I tend to be sometimes underbetter, and it's agonizing.
It is.
Agonizing.
It is.
But the over, you can pull for everybody and still have another cold beer.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
And that makes it all kind of worthwhile.
Absolutely.
You and Al Michaels, you two were really the only ones that would ever even casually introduce any sort of gambling information in the game.
Yeah.
You ever spend any time in Vegas with him?
He's a good craps player.
Ooh.
He loves to go to what was the old Hilton, which is now the Westgate. I knew Al's father really well, too. And Al's father was a terrific horse player. I mean, really good. You know, there are horse players, and then there are horse players. I mean, there's people who bet the Kentucky Derby, and then there's people who bet the horses, okay?
Right.
And Al Michaels' father was an outstanding horse player. And so Al grew up learning about that. He's a good craps player. He follows sports. I don't know that he bets a lot of it. He's been over here for March Madness at some of the casinos in town. Good guy, very, very well versed. And I always thought, hey, it's part of the story. You know, you talk to coaches who are honest. I was on the show with Lou Holtz the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days when he was coaching Notre Dame, we didn't have the internet to get the point spreads and everything. So it was Danny Sheridan's line in the USA Today. And he would open up on Tuesday at the staff meeting, and he would look at the spread, and let's say that they were playing USC, and let's say that Notre Dame was a 13-point favorite, and whoa. Or let's say maybe they were a 10-point underdog, and he thought they should be the favorite. Lou would say to the staff, what do these people know that we don't know?
Right.
It's interesting because more coaches know what that number is than are willing to admit.
Do you know what the spread is.
Do
you think they coach to it? Because I'm convinced Lane Kiffin does. And I think that they're thinking in their head, you got a bunch of boosters, you got a bunch of people in the program, rich guys who are probably putting action on the game. So if at the end of the game I need to kick a field goal or go for it, do you think that any coaches coach like that?
Well, I think you have to be a little bit careful, but I think the answer to your question is yes. I don't want to hedge on it. I think that there have been coaches certainly in the past who would cover for the alumni in a certain situation.
Right.
There's a difference in betting on professional sport than college sport. I was talking to a group of people of gaming who want to make it legal in the United States. And I actually told them, I said, you're on safer ground convincing the NBA and the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NHL that they should get behind legalized gambling than you will ever be with the colleges. I said, you got to be a little bit careful with the college gambling.
Makes sense.
Because the kids are not paid.
Right.
You know, how much money would it take to fix an NFL game today? I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars to be able to. It wouldn't be worth a gambler's trouble. Now, I suppose you have to watch officials like we did in the NBA. But in the college game, I feel a little more sympathy, having been around it and watched it, toward those. And there's no one central office in college athletics. Like, we have the commissioners of the leagues I spoke about. So you could not get everybody to agree. But if legalized betting on professional sport became nationwide, then eventually the colleges would come around. It would just take a little bit of time because people in the Southeast, for example, they want to bet the SEC. People up in the Big Ten, they want to bet the Big Ten. I was at a Pac-12 basketball game the other night, and the team had lost. The booth I was in with a group of boosters, they had lost the game. They were going to win the game. But the spread was still in play, okay? And so they had the game within the game. And it was kind of fun to watch these people. I don't think they were big bettors, but they'd made small wagers to the casino before going over the game. And it was kind of, you know, at least they got half a loaf, you know, from it. They went back and cashed their bet.
Right.
Yeah, so I've wanted to ask you this question for a while, but just feel free to be totally honest. Your voice, it's fake, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's a fake voice.
My mother gave me my voice, and it's fake.
It's a fake
voice. She was a fake
voice. No, the voice.
Admit it's a fake voice.
The voice is so iconic, and it's
so perfectly suited for broadcasting that part of me wants to believe that it's fake. But coming out of college, when you decide that you want to be a broadcaster, how long did you have to work on it? Did you change the voice, or was it just always like that?
It was always like that. And I never decided I wanted to be a broadcaster. I wanted to be a writer. And so I was a writer in Chicago. And it all went down because WBBM, which was owned by CBS, switched the format. They had been play-by-play, they had been talk, they had been news, and they switched the CBS radio format to all news, which meant the only sports they were going to do was 2.5 minutes, probably every 30 minutes. And the sports director at the time was a fellow named Rick Weaver. He hated it. He wanted to do play-by-play in the worst way. And he did a talk show, and a youngster, maybe 12 years old, would call and say, "Mr. Weaver, who's a better player, Willie Mays or Hank Aaron?" What kind of a stupid question is that? Why would you ask me a question like that? So the general manager brought me over from the newspaper to sit with Rick during this show, so that when he got asked a question like that, they would turn to me. And I would say, well, there are different kinds of players. You know, Mays, young man, is a much better outfielder, faster than Hank. Hank has got more raw power and da-da-da-da-da-da. So anyway, Weaver got the job as a play-by-play radio broadcaster for the Miami Dolphins. And the general manager called me in and said, "We'd like to hire you to be the sports director, do the strips." And so I kind of hemmed and hawed because I was a columnist at the time, the Chicago's American. I was really enjoying being a writer in Chicago. And he said, "We will pay you $17,500 a year." And that was the magic. My wife and I bought our first house, and I was making around 11, and I needed the money for the mortgage. So I went over to the newspaper and told Luke Carroll, the general manager, what was going to happen. "Oh, you're going to leave a column to go to radio? Are you crazy? No one leaves a column." And I said, look, had he countered and said, "You know, we'll give you an extra $3,000, mm-hmm. I'd still be a newspaper man. I mean, with me, it was about the money. And you know, we didn't have agents then, and so I was looking for the money. And that's how it all came. I didn't take any broadcasting courses at Northwestern, probably to my advantage. I took a lot of other courses. And at one time, I actually anchored the news out in Los Angeles with Connie Chung. Oh. And that was great experience, too. And then I knew the day was going to come. They were going to say, make a choice. They probably thought I was going to take news. I said, I'll go back to sports. Because you can have more fun.
Right.
I enjoyed sports. Just like you fellas.
Yeah. What is your most memorable call? What's the call that you look back and you're like, I really nailed that?
No.
One?
There's not one.
Flutie's Hail Mary?
There's Flutie's Hail Mary. Well, Flutie's Hail Mary is a heck of a story because I didn't know who caught it. Okay? Because it was arms, elbows, helmets.
Muddy,
Yeah, that kind of an afternoon in Miami. And we had a graduate of Boston College in the truck who pulled the key back to my headset and said it was Gerard Phelan, Brent. Phelan. So as goes on, I throw Phelan's name in. Well, Doug and I did a special on the play many years later. And I told him the anecdote. And he started to laugh. And he said, I didn't know who caught it. I said, come on, Doug. He said, no. He said, I'm going up the tunnel of the Orange Bowl. I turned to my center and I said, who caught it? Who caught the pass? And he goes, Doug, it was your roommate.
Okay. That's perfect.
So that's how it ended. Yeah, obviously that was a memorable day. The game that gets played, though, probably the most is over on the NBA channel.
Mm-hmm.
They love to play the triple overtime game between the Boston Celtics and the Phoenix Suns when Gar Hurd knocked down that shot that kept it going. So, you know, a lot of memory, whatever the fans like. And do you remember that night, that the other day when I told you that I liked Minnesota against Golden State?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Minnesota jumped out to an early lead in that game. I don't know if they're going to hold on.
Oh.
That
was a smart broadcasting trick. I was like, you told me that 5 minutes ago, but my dumb brain couldn't figure it out that we're airing this on Monday.
Well, I said the other day.
I was like, what are you talking about? You told me that 2 minutes ago. Where does, in all your famous moments, where does your interview with Eminem rank?
Oh, right near the top. That was, I was.
Do you still like, what the hell did he smoke before that?
Well, here's what happened. I really still don't. Everybody who saw it thought he was high.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a person.
Oh, you think?
Okay. Here's what truly happened. He's standing in the middle of us, and there's a monitor right in his face, which we used up in the booth, and he's looking at himself, and they had turned the lights off in the stadium. The band was doing something with flashlights, I guess, down on the field. And he really was spooked, okay? He really was. I talked to him before.
Because he was so high.
I'm not going to be able to convince you of anything. But he later, he sent along best wishes when I announced my retirement from Blaine. He probably still hasn't gotten over the fact that I asked him if the Detroit Lions were going to cover the next game.
Wait, Eminem wrote you, he wrote you a note saying congratulations?
Congratulations on a great career. It was very nice, yeah.
People will always remember me when they think of your career. Did you write that in that as well?
It's great. But he was,
we're forever
he was fun up there, and I enjoyed it, and I got almost as much attention as when I called a beauty queen beautiful, which was...
I remember that. How dare you?
Yeah, seriously, though, how much do you hate Twitter? Be honest. You hate it.
No, I don't dislike it. I don't pay attention
really where
to it.
I mean, when you called out Catherine Webb, I mean, I didn't flinch. Watching Cubs games on WGN, I'm pretty sure one of the cameramen's sole job was to find attractive women,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
But Twitter obviously goes crazy, and towards the end of your career,
Twitter's a little bit of a gotcha business.
Mm-hmm.
So they sit and wait for that moment, but I don't because honestly. I don't pay all that much attention to it. And I'm flattered that they're listening. I mean, not everybody's going to like you if you're in the media business. I got it. Life goes on, And so it is what we deal with. The whole change in technology, though, has made my job a lot easier. Okay, I say that to people all the time, that information flows. You know, I use iPad, I use a computer when we do the VSiN show. And I'm looking for information all the time, and you can take it and get a quick sentence, and you're off with a storyline. We didn't used to have that. I mean, you had to come in with scripts and prepared things. So that I really like today's technology. It's made the sports world much easier because you can disseminate information. And even on the Twitter world, to tell you the truth, and I try to give the people credit, like at ESPN over on the right-hand side, there's a lot of the coverage of quick breaking stories. You can read things over there. So you grab it. And I think what's fair, use it, because that's why they're disseminating it. But I don't think it's fair to also think it's fair to give them credit for what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had Joe Buck on the show not too long ago, and he kind of echoed the same sentiment. Like everybody, it gives people a platform to hate the broadcaster if they're on Twitter. But we were talking to him about some of the other dangers of doing the job, and he expressed that being in the booth, sometimes you have to use the restroom. And during, I think he was calling a touchdown with Troy Aikman up in the booth, and he had to actually pee.
And he went to the bathroom?
Yeah, he had to pee into a trash can that was up in the booth. Have you ever done that?
You know what's interesting about that story is, the answer to your question is no. But you know what's interesting about your story? This is really funny. I know the story. Joe Buck's father, I was very close to Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Work games with Matt.
Big strip club guy.
He was a good guy.
Guy's guy.
So Hank Stram was his analyst in Monday Night Radio on the NFL. And I did the pregame and the halftime. And when they were in New York, I would actually go out to the Meadowlands and be in the stadium with them just to get the environment and the feel for it and everything. So one night, Stram had to go to the men's room. And the stats guy ran and got him an empty beer cup, okay? And he relieved himself without Jack Reel, and he set the beer cup down between them, okay?
Uh-huh.
And Jack, no, he didn't reach down, but he accidentally kicked it and went all over his leg. He was so pissed off. After getting pissed on, that he did not talk to Hank for about a quarter and a half. Never even brought him into the broadcast.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's interesting. Now, and now you tell me that Joe had to relieve himself during... I never had to do that. Now, you come see me about 45 minutes afterwards, and I've got three Budweisers in me. Yeah, perhaps, but the game's over.
That was the other thing that he said was he likes to drink exactly one beer to get started during a game, just to kind of remind himself that not to take himself too seriously almost. Is that a common thing? You see a lot of guys just pounding a beer before the game?
No. I know a guy who pounded vodka before a game, and that was Howard Cosell.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. He would take a couple shooters. Hard telling what Pat Summerall pounded. That could have been anything.
Yeah. He seems like a Scotch guy to me.
Yeah. Al Michaels used to eat at dinner. Would you ever eat on air?
No. It's pretty bland. I do remember after a baseball game, I was doing radio with Johnny Bench down. It was a great, fabulous 16-17 inning game, playoff game between Houston and the Mets. And we were doing the radio, and the ABC booth was right next door. And so we finished, and all of a sudden, around the corner with the game over came this big hand with a bottle of vodka, and Keith Jackson was handing us a shooter. You know,
that
so
makes
we,
sense.
Here we go. Yeah, I was, you know, all bets are off afterwards. I never really needed it before a game. You know, I was always kind of interested in the outcome of the game, what the spread might be.
Because you bet on it. Yeah, yeah. Right, exactly. We know why you're interested.
I remember that.
Yeah.
No.
Because you bet on it. I'm interested in every game as well. All right, we'll wrap this up. We had a couple last questions. I actually wanted to just get your number one favorite college football venue.
That changes, too, from time to time. What I missed the last few years, I missed dearly, was Notre Dame. Because NBC got the rights. And mm-hmm. so for well over a decade now, I didn't do a game on a Saturday afternoon in South Bend. But I do remember one of the great ones we did was Notre Dame and Miami. And that was the Catholics versus the Convicts game.
Yep, sure.
And the fellow who sold the T-shirts and got kicked out for it presented me with one of those T-shirts, which is one of my cherished possessions.
Love
the
it.
Catholics versus the Convicts.
Love it.
And it was a hell of a game. And yeah. So, but there are other venues. The one that surprised me was so good, and everybody knows about it now, is Clemson, where they take the team around mm-hmm. the stadium in a bus, and then they come down that hill. Yeah.
Which I'm surprised more players don't get hurt.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing to me.
Yeah.
I saw one of our announcers get trampled one night. Okay, Jack Arroot fell on his ass when they were coming down the hill. But if
I used to always think
winning,
his name was Jack Arroot.
If a team is winning, the scene is usually pretty good. Now, the Pac-12 might be an exception sometimes. They're kind of laid back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best thing about the scene at Stanford is when the band comes out,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're going to tick everybody off. And I get a big kick out of them because, like, the Iowa fans in a Rose Bowl, they were oversensitive about
mm-hmm.
the music they were playing. Mm-hmm. You know, about them being farmers and
right.
But they were great fun. And one time there was a school they were playing. A couple players had been charged with sexual assault, and I will never forget that the trombone players came out with prophylactics on the end of the horn.
I mean, oh my wow. God.
And they would get banned
right,
from time to time.
Right.
I mean, the Stanford band.
You can't do that anymore.
Yeah. No, no.
No, Stanford band. They're wild.
Oh, don't be so nope. sure about the Stanford band.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Oh, that's right. They did the Title IX thing.
Yes, they did.
Last year, yeah.
And they, like,
yeah.
I think they got kicked off for having, like, crazy orgy and sex.
They parties. live to be suspended.
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah. correct.
That's not a bad life. You use the word folks almost as much as I do. I'm a big, big folks guy. Can I just have you give me one solid folks?
Yeah, folks, you are looking live. We're doing a podcast, Danny Katz.
There we go.
And PFT.
Last question, because it's March Madness, your favorite betting angle. What's the angle that you always go to? Give the people the Brent Musburger special so that they can win some money March Madness.
Underdogs, underdogs, underdogs.
Okay.
Okay.
Underdogs, underdogs, underdogs. They're always barking.
If you don't sit in your lucky seat, your team could lose. So don't leave your lucky seat. But do pick up your phone or computer and order B-Dubs to go. Or if you've got a big group, call in for the party menu. That way you can order wings, pick them up, and get back to your lucky seat. And if you do lose while sitting in your lucky seat, you can still feel lucky eating your feelings. Spicy feelings. Keep your superstitions. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. See participating locations for details. Void where prohibited.
All right, let's do some segments. First up, we have Humans versus the Sun. Shout out Daylight Savings.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna fuck you up.
That's right. Daylight Savings time. I actually don't mind it as much as I used to because I'm kind of a bad boy when it comes to clock management.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I just don't change my clocks over the wintertime.
I was going to say,
I live my life on summertime.
The only person who doesn't have to worry about daylight savings, Tom Coughlin, and also that one town in Indiana and Arizona.
Which, oh, yeah. So, yeah, Arizona just, they say, fuck you.
Yeah.
We're Arizona. We don't need clocks. We got the sun, brother.
It takes me a good, like, month to get that hour back adjusted.
I'll tell you what. This morning I woke up, I was a little hungover,
It's Las Vegas. And daylight savings time is like giving your hangover PEDs, because you get that 1 hour of sleep that's so crucial that you miss out on entirely. So I woke up, the sun was too bright, everything was off. But you give me about 4 hours, I'm back into it. I'm okay with it, because like I said, I've been mentally living on summertime this entire winter, so I'm all good.
I agree. We have a Just Chill Out Man. This one goes to Russ Wilson, who he's been acting really weird on Twitter, which is...
I got a question real quick for Hank. Hank, do they teach you how to read time in school? How to tell time?
Do you know the little hand and the big hand?
Do you know how clocks work?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know if they...
That was really mean.
I didn't know if, like, millennials just was
that
like...
That was ugly.
You know?
That was ugly.
When my phone buzzes, I'll wake up.
I also dropped out of school, so I'm not quite sure.
Russ Wilson, saying he's acting weird, I mean, he always is weird.
Also, who... Do you even use your clocks? Like, who uses real clocks?
That's what I'm saying. No one. Clocks are... They're a vestige of the past.
I tell my own time. He has been going weird, like, love letters to Ciara. He said, "I love loving you. P.S. Those legs, though, dang you fine." He also posted like 4 different tweets and Instagram posts about the 1 year anniversary of his engagement day. So not his wedding anniversary, the day that he got engaged with Ciara.
Is this Russell Wilson's first girlfriend? Like, I don't think he actually dated his wife. I think he was just born married to his ex-wife, because this is the behavior of a seventh grader who's in love for the very first time.
It's just very... I just don't understand, like, why you have to tell the world constantly that you love your wife. I mean, you married her.
Yeah, we get it, bro.
Yeah. You have a kid coming with her.
Yeah, okay.
A future child. Future's future brother.
Future's son.
All right, next.
You're getting married to Future.
Yeah. Future son, Future Junior's future brother.
There we go. Yeah,
okay,
Hank.
Got it. Thanks, Hank.
We have a... What do you got for him?
So the backup catcher for the Royals injured the starting catcher for the Royals at the World Baseball Classic in a home plate collision.
A little self-sabotage?
Yeah.
I actually saw it. It was an ugly play. I don't understand. I'm not a big World Baseball Classic guy, because it's just we already have a lot of baseball, and I love baseball. There's 162 games.
It's a long season.
It's a long season. I don't think we need more baseball.
The one thing I do like about the World Baseball Classic is you get a little bit more anger. So these guys aren't playing for contracts. They're playing for their country.
True.
So they sometimes kind of get hypnotized into thinking maybe they're in a war.
Yeah.
And so, you know, fuck the other country and I'm going to run you over.
That's got
to
be...
I'm into that. A little old school baseball.
That's going to suck for him when he goes back to Kansas City. And he hurt his catcher.
Yeah. He hurt the guy that's ahead of him on the depth chart.
Correct.
I think Pete Rose actually believed that the team he was playing against was a different country.
Every single time. Yes. Every single game.
That's how you get yourself
including the All-Star game.
That's what I do for other podcasts. Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers for Jim Boeheim. He had a little tiff, which Jim Boeheim always has a little, you know, he's like the temper tantrum king, the adult temper tantrum king.
Has he always been this much of a baby?
Yeah, he's always kind of been a little curmudgeon. So he went after the city of Greensboro for he hates the ACC tournament when it's there. It's not there. It wasn't there this year.
You know who else attacked Greensboro?
Who?
The Union Army.
Oh.
Just a little history fact.
Well, there you go. and the NIT, in an ultimate troll move, had UNC Greensboro play. They have them playing Syracuse in the first round.
I love it.
It's the best.
Fuck you, Jim Boeheim.
It's the best. And he's going to be even more upset about it. And Syracuse, I know Syracuse is upset because they didn't get in the tournament. I don't think they beat anyone away from the Carrier Dome.
The only thing that they had going for them is they have a lot of alumni in the media that kept mentioning, ooh, is Syracuse going to make it?
Right.
Ooh, their name's Syracuse.
And the bubble teams, I don't know. I can never really get too amped up about the bubble teams.
Yeah.
Because they're going to win one more game?
I want the NIT to go full troll job more often.
Yeah.
Like, just really lay it out there.
Just really, yeah. Just...
That's your opportunity to stand out, is by kind of being a dick.
I agree. We next
well, you know
up...
what? You know what? Jim Boeheim is the kind of guy that might just, like, pull his team from the NIT.
That would be great.
And just say, hey, you know what?
UNC Greensboro shows up and he's like, no, we're not playing.
But
game canceled.
Yeah, he wouldn't admit because it's UNCG. He would just be like, you know what? Our team didn't play that well, and I need the guys to focus on their academics.
Right, right. Even though they all don't even go to class because I've been just passing them all.
Yeah.
Next up, we have a little locker room talk. This actually, we had a little spa day today, so we did a little locker room talk. And we have some money sitting in our pocket that we want to put on the roulette wheel tonight. And we're going to do it.
We were talking about like what to put it on, because we want to go just pure either red or pure black. And the best strategy we could come up with was to consult our friend who is an expert in investing. His name's Lenny Dykstra. You may have heard of him. He's 610-1 in his career. So if we get Lenny's lock, I feel like we're definitely doubling up.
All right, let's try him. He hasn't picked up in a while.
Hello.
Hey, Lenny, red or black?
Hey, what's that?
Red or black? What should we play on the roulette wheel?
Red, always.
All right, red, okay. Suck our dicks, okay?
Suck my dick, Lenny.
All right, later, bro. Hey. All right, that's all right. It, red.
Going red. That's
we're gonna go down. Hank is going to record that. Thanks, Lenny. Appreciate that. we'll let everyone know how we do.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lenny.
It's going to be big.
Next up, we have a Sabermetrics. And this one is sad. This is the 2017 in the year 2017, which hasn't happened yet. It's still 2016. The Nets have won one single game at the Barclays.
Oh, that's pretty sad. Yeah.
Duke has won now four games at the Barclays.
So could Duke basketball beat the Nets? I think it's
maybe
it's time to start having that conversation.
I went to double check this Sabermetrics, and it's just so many L's, so many red L's by mm-hmm. the Brooklyn Nets. It is just a bukkake of red L's.
Let's play a game real quick. It's called Name Three Players on the Nets. Go. The Lopez guy. He's the tall guy, the tall feller.
Yep.
Yeah. The white guy.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy Lin.
Okay, there we go.
All right. Finally, we have an Explain It to Hank, which he told us is coming. I'm very excited for it. Let's do it.
Explain to me why, what the reason of checking out of a hotel is.
Oh!
I just don't check out of hotels.
Yeah.
No, I know. I get that, but today I walked out into the lobby and there was a line all the way out the door of people waiting to check out. What is the point?
They're nerds. Those are all Northwestern graduates.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't think any hotel makes you check out except for Vegas hotels. It's very weird.
Oh, really?
Vegas hotels still try to make you check out.
Yeah, they try to.
But what's the point of checking out?
There is no point.
I didn't check out last week.
Yeah.
They're probably looking for
you. You're probably still staying at that hotel.
I'm a fugitive. I'm a wanted man.
Side note, we've been staying at the Caesars all week, and I've just I just want to say apologies to Peter Chernin because they put out candy. They have the candy every night, and I've just eaten the candy every single night.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably – it's like four –
it's like $100 per Toblerone.
Yeah, four Snickers minis are $75, and I've done that – four or five times.
I had one energy drink today, and I honestly, like, I was shaking when I was opening. I was like, this is bad.
this is bad.
It's $13.
It's a rush to hit up the mini bar because you know how much that's going to hurt you in your wallet.
And they know what they're doing. You open up the bar. You open up the refrigerator, and it's, like, lit from the bottom, so all the bottles look so heavenly in there.
Yes.
Like, a Miller Lite looks like a $1 million.
Let me just do one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can see why.
Just do one for two. Let me just do one bottle of Bud Light for $28.
You know that scene in Flight with Denzel Washington?
Nope.
Is that the name of that movie?
Yep.
Yeah, where he looks at the minibar and it like taunts him from the other room. That's how I've spent my entire week here. I just look at the beers in there and I want one.
Well, I just figured if you don't drink from the minibar, you're allowed to eat the candy.
That's fair.
Yeah, the candy should be free.
Yeah, one or the other. Don't get greedy.
All hotels. New idea. Hotel. The one sticking point is free candy all the time.
Just gumball machines in the room.
Yeah, with all kinds of candy.
Fill the bathtubs up with Skittles.
Perfect. Marshawn Lynch will be the person who checks you in. That's pretty topical. All right, that's our show. We will see you on Wednesday. Like we said, we're going to have Mark Titus on our show to talk about the bracket, break it down for real, for real. And we will be back in New York just in time for a huge snowstorm. And we'll see you Wednesday.
If we get back in, yes. We love you guys.
Shying away, I'm coming for your love, okay? thoughts at ease, but I need stumbling away. Slowly learning that life is okay. Say after me, it's no better to be safe than sorry.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.